Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Our phone number, 855-853-4802, to show your real ghost story with us on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. We're actually streaming this live roughly 2 weeks before we're hitting the podcast airwaves. So we're going to have some live interaction here from our listeners via that, via typing in the questions on Facebook, or if anyone wants to call in our live line. If you're listening to this via the podcast, it's not a live phone line to use, but if you're watching this right today, which is being recorded on the 1st of September at about 10:23 a.m. Central Time, 662-25-GHOST up on the phone is the phone number to call if you want to call in live on today's episode. If not, and you're listening to it on a podcast, 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in and share your ghost stories that way for a future episode. It's open lines version of the show today, so lots of calls, lots of interesting stories as told by y'all. So let's go along with that. Let's take a quick little scan here on the old Facebook as well, because like I said, we're doing live questions and comments as well. So if those of you watching right now on Facebook have any questions or comments that you'd like to interject into the program, feel free to do so, as I'm trying to just refresh that feed as I speak, so we can hear and see what you guys are all saying out there. Oh, look, we do have some questions and comments. See, I knew it wasn't refreshing correctly. That's why I had to hit the refresh button. Jay Spencer says, the Garfield Halloween special always scared the bejesus out of me. I love the Garfield Halloween special. Just before we started recording the podcast today for our Facebook Live viewers, we were talking about old television shows, old Halloween and spooky specials, and I actually shared a clip. If you want to see it, it's on an old Facebook Live feed up on our Facebook page to our podcast listeners. And it discusses and shares the story of the investigation of the haunted Toys R Us in California. Very interesting look at it. It's taken from the 70s. And it was the show Believe It or Not or something of that. Do you believe it? I don't remember. And I just saw it like 2 minutes ago. But anyway, interesting, interesting view. It's up there for your enjoyment. See, Oscar says, what's up? I was expecting to see Ron Burgundy, Ashley says. I'm sorry. Don't have the hair for that, Ashley. Michelle says, I feel like I just watched a documentary from back in middle school. It really does have that video did have that feeling. It certainly did have the old school feeling. I love those things. Remember film strips? Those were fun as well. Let's go over to our first caller today at 855-853-4802 and start hearing some real ghost stories here on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. And our first caller, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Stuart. I am 34 now. I live in Carroll, Michigan. Back in 2002, maybe 2003, my oldest sister and her husband and their four kids, three boys, ages 8, 7, and 5, and their newborn daughter bought a house in Carroll, Michigan. Now, this house they bought was a rather large house, two stories, possibly three if you counted the attic, which was a huge attic. You could stand up in it. They also had a Michigan basement downstairs, or underneath. Anyways, where basements go. Well, they moved in, and shortly after they moved in, they invited me to move in with them. I was living with my dad, and I was living quite a bit away from where I worked. So moving in with them was closer. So I moved in. They gave me a room on the first floor. You come in the house, the entranceway, and then there's a little hallway down to where my bedroom is. The door's on the right. So I moved in with them, and right away we started remodeling the house, since this house was pretty old, at least 100 years old. So we started remodeling, and we were going to redo all the plumbing. Now, my sister and her husband, they're really religious Christians, go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, anything church-related, they're doing it, and they don't believe in ghosts or anything like that. It's not what they believe in. Well, one weekend, we were redoing the plumbing for the downstairs bathroom, and we worked all day Saturday on it, didn't get it done. Sunday, they went to church Sunday morning, and then we started working on it again Sunday afternoon. Well, things were getting close to Sunday evening church time, and my brother-in-law decided that he wasn't going to go to church that night, and he was going to stay home with me and my dad and finish up the plumbing. Well, my sister took the four kids, and they went off to church. About an hour, 10 minutes later, we were downstairs working still, and we heard door open, and we heard people running up and down the hallways and laughing and stuff, and we just assumed, hey, they're home, and we continued working. Well, about half an hour later, my brother-in-law goes, well, that's weird. They haven't even come down. The boys haven't come down to see what we're doing, and usually they're pretty interested in to watch and stuff like that. And he's like, my wife didn't even come down to say she's home or anything like that. Well, my dad says, well, I'm going to go upstairs and I got to use the bathroom and I'm going to check with them and see if they want to order pizza for supper tonight. So he goes upstairs. He's up there for about 5 minutes. And then he comes back downstairs and he looks kind of flushed, kind of white. And my brother-in-law is like, so did you order the pizza? And my dad said, no. And he's like, well, they didn't want pizza for supper? And he goes, they're not home. And I go, yeah, they are. We heard them. And my dad goes, I know we heard them, but they're not home. I went up there, and I looked in the kitchen and the hallway, and I went in the living room. There's nobody home. And then I looked outside, and their vehicle's gone. They're not here. I was like, what in the world were we hearing? And my dad said, I have no idea. But as soon as I saw that the car was still gone, I got nervous, and I come back as quick as I could, and I made sure I looked around every corner before I walked through, just in case something jumped out at me. So that kind of freaked me out a little bit. My brother-in-law just kind of laughed it off, and a couple minutes later, my sister did come home with the kids, and they all just kind of laughed it off. No big deal, whatever. Well, they moved in about the beginning of June, so July comes around, July 4th, and they decided to go away for the holiday, and they went to visit some family. So this was going to be the first time I was alone in the house. Well, the one night I went out with fireworks with friends, and I came back home. It was probably around midnight, and I come in the house, and I decide to take a shower. Well, I'm in the shower, and I get done taking a shower, and I turn off the water, and I step outside the door, or I step outside the bathtub, and right away, I heard a man clear his throat right outside the bathroom door. Just like that. And I instantly froze, butt-ass naked. And I am kind of freaking out. And I'm thinking, who was that? What could it be? It's past midnight. The neighbors is an old man and his wife. They wouldn't be up this time. Maybe one of my friends came back just to mess with me. So I'm just frozen there waiting for them to start laughing, or I'm waiting for to hear something, and I don't hear anything. And I swear I was frozen for like 10 minutes. So I wait and I wait and I wait, and I finally decide I'm going to get dressed. I got dressed real slowly, and then I decided I'm gonna go out the door, and if something's out there, I'm going to be ready to attack it. If not, I'm running straight to my bedroom. So I slowly got dressed, went to the door, opened it up, nothing out there. So I ran right to my bedroom, locked the door, and jumped in my bed and covered up in the blankets. Why I didn't turn the TV on to noise or whatever, I don't know. Well, I'm laying in bed and shaking, freaking out. What in the world was that noise I heard? And I hear something walking around upstairs, walking down the hallway. Then I hear a door open, and I hear a baby crying. Ah, ah. I'm like, what in the world? And then a door closed again, and the baby crying was gone. And I'm laying there like, what is going on? I know they're not home. I come home at midnight. Their car's not here. They're not home. And I laid there what seemed like an eternity, and then I heard a door open again. And then I heard something walking down the hallway upstairs again. And then I heard another door open and close. And I'm shaking. So I decide I need to get out of the house. I don't know what's going on. I'm hearing all this stuff. And there's this big window in my bedroom that I can open up. And if I jump out of it, it's like a 6-foot drop to the ground. So I get dressed the rest of the way. I get go over to the window. I go to open it, and it's the noisiest window ever. It makes so much noise. Well, anyways, I get it open enough so I can jump out. I jump out, and I run to my car, get in my car. I don't have my car keys, but there's no way in hell I'm going back in that house. So I lock the doors on my car, and I decide to stay in my car and sleep. Well, after an hour or two, I finally fall asleep. And then I wake up, and it's like 11 o'clock the next day. And I decide I'm going to go in the house. I'm going to go to my bedroom. I'm going to get my keys. I get some other clothes, and I'm going to my mom's house. So I go in the house as quick as I can. I run to my bedroom, get the stuff that I want and need, go back to my car, go to my mom's house. So I stayed the next night at my mom's house. The next day, my sister and her husband are supposed to be back home. So they call me, hey, where are you at? And I'm like, oh, I'm at my mom's. And they're like, oh, okay, just wondering where you were, whatever. And I'm like, well, I'm coming home. So I went back home, and they're in the house. Nothing's going on. They're just doing their everyday normal things. Well, that night, they put the kids to bed, and they're sitting down in the living room watching TV. So I go out there, and I ask them, hey, have you guys ever heard anything weird? You remember, Scott, that one time we thought we heard people running around upstairs while we were in the basement, and then nobody was here? And Scott, yeah, I remember. That was pretty crazy, but it was just noises. It's an old house. Well, I asked my sister, have you ever heard anything? My sister, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, the other night when you guys were gone, I was here. I thought I heard a baby crying. And my sister goes, well, that's weird, because there's been a couple times I thought I heard a baby crying. So I got up out of bed, and I went down the hallway to check to see if the baby was okay. And I opened the door, and she's just laying there. No, she's asleep. So I was like, well, that's weird. So I shut the door and went back to my bedroom. And not less than 2 minutes later, I heard baby crying again. So I get up and go down a little bit quicker this time to the bedroom and open the door, and she's sound asleep. And I'm like, what's going on? What's she just doing? Crying for a couple seconds and then stopping? I'm like, well, that. And then my brother-in-law says, well, I remember one time it was kind of late at night, and I thought I heard the boys opening the door and running down the hallway. So I was going to go out and yell at them. I opened the door, and they're not in the hallway. So I went down to the bedroom thinking they had gone back in the bedroom, and all three of them were sound asleep. I'm like, you guys, the night you guys weren't here, I was taking a shower. I swear I heard a man clear his throat right outside the bathroom door. When I opened it up, there was nothing there. I went to the bedroom and hid under the blankets, and they laughed at me saying, oh, I'm ridiculous. It was just the old house making a noise. I'm like, well, then I was laying in bed, and I swear I heard somebody walking back and forth up in the hallway upstairs, and I heard doors open, and I heard a baby crying, and there was so much noises going on. The people doing things that I thought people were doing things that I couldn't stay in the house anymore. And I jumped out the window and slept in the car all night. And they just laughed at me. Oh, you're crazy. It's just the house making noise. There's nothing going on. Well, I don't care what they say. There was something going on in the house. And a buddy of mine who had been interested in this sort of stuff, supernatural stuff, he said he had read up on it and he knew a way to get rid of the spirit. And he came over with this stuff and he lit it on fire and there was smoke and he waved it all around the house and he said that should chase all the spirits away. And ever since that night, I lived there for another year maybe, and I never heard anything again in the house. But that one night, I swear, there was crazy stuff going on. All right. Thanks for listening to my story. Hopefully you guys are there sometime.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story with us today. We do greatly appreciate that. Sometimes, no matter what one's belief system is, unless they're the ones that experience it and experience it like a pan being hit over the head, they will not recognize what is going on. And even sometimes then, they'll just tell you, well, sometimes, you know, pans fall from the ceiling. You know, I don't know, I was making eggs this morning. I thought I put it back in the cupboard. Maybe I stuck it to the ceiling with double-sided tape and it just happened to fall off. There'll be some sort of rational justification for whatever happens from some people, no matter what. And my best advice is with folks like that, don't waste your time on them. Don't waste your effort trying to convince them of something, because you know what? They probably already are convinced. It's just that the reality of what they're trying to put off and what they're trying to not process is just far too great to try and take on, that it's a defense mechanism. You know, there's some people who are just kind of, you know, ignorant on the topic too, but I think sometimes it is just a big defense mechanism. I mean, but when you clearly have that much going on, you clearly see that much, you hear that much. Obviously, yes, there are house noises. There's ways to write off some things, and not every time you hear a bump in the night is it paranormal. But, you know, when you start hearing certain things, you start experiencing certain things, you just know it goes beyond the explainable. I will say this. I mean, sometimes with that baby crying sound, and this is not to explain away your story at all, because I doubt that's what it is, but there's a lot of animals in nature that do make the sound of what very much sounds like a baby crying. Foxes do that. Raccoons do that. You know, so if you're in the woods, and we're learning this right now because we are literally in the woods here. You know, you'll hear some of these sounds outside, and it's rather creepy. Especially in the middle of the night, you start hearing like what sounds like a baby crying out in the woods, which is like right outside your window. You're like, why is there a child crying in the forest? It's probably not. It's probably just an animal. But very, very creepy nonetheless. So thank you for sharing that that story with us. Looking on our comments as we do this Facebook Live feed today, Jar has the comment that comforters blind ghosts. If you're under a linen, you're invisible. But it has to be at least a 300 thread count. I completely agree with that, except you're wrong. It's a 400 thread count. Everyone knows that. Just saying. I saw Ashley said, I want to hear more stories from the dude who told the zombie ghost clown story. That'd be Oscar in Dallas. And that is an awesome story. You're right, Ashley. And actually, there are a ton of stories from him in our EPP archive. So if you're not an EPP yet, Ashley, check that out and go through the archive. You will find many more stories from Oscar in there, including a ghostly pig story and several others that were very, very good. So do check that out. There's a lot of good stuff in there. This week's EPP bonus episode, very, very good. I highly recommend checking that out. And the EPP episode I'm referring to actually is EPP 106. As I'm doing this live on Facebook and now thinking how this will be playing out in a podcast 2 weeks later, what I'm referencing is EPP 106, everyone. And that is an episode, three stories on this episode. I almost put three stories on this episode, and very long stories, very good stories, very in-depth stories that just put you in the setting, and you walk away from that episode going, oh my God, that was creepy. I think it's actually one of the longest story episodes we've ever done as far as the amount of story that we're getting out there, and I judge it by the amount of pages that I read. So EPP 106, check it out. Great episode. Let's get another caller at 855-853-4802 here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And yes, let's hear your real ghost story. Hi.
Hey, guys. My name is Anthony. I'm from Irvine, California, and I have a couple stories for you guys. Not ghost stories per se, but more of dreams that I want to get you guys' opinion on. My wife and I have had a number of dreams in the past, but I'll only tell you about a couple that have kind of freaked us out a little bit. First of all, a little bit about myself, kid in a religious family. My parents are both devout evangelical Christians, and they don't necessarily believe in ghosts or anything of that nature. They're more of believing in, you know, angels and guardian angels and demonic spirits and demons and stuff like that. And I was always raised, the closer you get to God, the more the devil feels threatened, and the more he will start attacking you with, you know, demonic things and stuff like that. So about 3 or 4 years ago, it was the first dream, and it was actually a dream that my wife had. First, I'll tell you about my point of view. I was laying in bed watching to my side, and I just all of a sudden suddenly started feeling her shaking uncontrollably. And when I turn and look at her, her mouth is wide open, and she is screaming without making a noise. So I shake her, and I wake her up. And when I wake her up, she starts crying uncontrollably, like someone had passed away or something. So finally, when I calm her down, she tells me that she just had a nightmare where I was the devil. In her dream, she was standing in the middle of the street, faced our house, and I was in the doorway, and I was in a full-on black suit, and we were just staring at each other. And as I started walking towards her, the closer I got, the hotter it got. The temperature just kept rising and rising. And it was to the point where she literally felt like her body was on fire. And I got toe-to-toe with her, and apparently I looked like the most evil creature she had ever seen, but it was still me. And I had horns, and I had this devil smile on my face, and she couldn't wake up. So finally she woke up, and we talked about it, and we prayed, and that was that. I want to say about a year later, there was another dream where, again, she was laying in bed, and I walked in, and I'm in that same suit, and I get on top of her, and I hold her down, and she feels like she's on fire again, and I'm not doing anything other than looking at her into her eyes, and she tells me that I have that smile, and the horns come back. And it freaked her out to the point again where she woke up in a panic. More recently, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, she had a dream that I passed away. And it was, I was pulling out of our house in our car, and another car that was coming down the street sideswiped me, and it flipped my car, and my car caught on fire. She came out of the house and can hear me screaming, me, oh my God, it burns, don't take me, and that I died. And this was another nightmare where she woke up screaming. Well, the same night, I had a dream, and I had a dream where I believe I went to hell. First off, the dream starts where I am in water, and it's pitch black, and it's deep enough where I can't touch the bottom, and there's people around me, but for some strange reason, I can't look around and I can't see who's around me. The water, for some reason, starts getting thicker, and it's getting harder for me to stay afloat. Eventually, I get into the water, and I can't breathe anymore, and I'm starting to inhale this water, and I'm feeling everything like it's happening in real life. And right before everything goes dark, I blink, and I'm in this room. And while I'm in this room, I'm standing up, and I feel people around me again, but yet I can't look at them. I can't turn to see who's there, and it's pitch black again. the temperature starts growing hotter and hotter to the point where I literally feel like I'm melting. I fall to my knees. My knees are burning. My knees are on fire. I fall to my hands, and then finally I fall onto my chest and on my face, where the heat is so unbearable that I pass out. Well, I blink, and I'm standing up again, and I'm in the same room, but this time I'm alone. And I can hear whispers, and I can hear noises, like there's things there. Not the same noises as when I heard, you know, that there were people around me, but just evil noises and whispers. And just to let you guys know, I have a deathly fear of rats. Like, that is just my phobia. And as I'm standing there, I can hear mice noises. Like, just the nastiest mice noises. And then I can feel them get to my feet, and then they start biting my feet. And it hurts so bad that I drop to my knees, and then they start attacking my legs. And I put my hands on the floor, and they start attacking my hands. And then I fall on my face, and I can just feel them going at my body, and I can feel every single bite. And I close my eyes, and I open them, and I'm in the water again. And this goes continuously 3 or 4 times before I wake up. When I woke up, for some reason, I didn't feel scared. I didn't feel any kind of terror. I actually felt a sense of calm, which is strange to me. But I do believe that maybe this was my version of hell. I asked my parents about it. My father is a pastor. Like I said, they're both about evangelical Christians, and my father believes that, you know, since I'm not as religious as I used to be, I've kind of left the path, as they say. This is God's way of letting me know, you need to get back on the path because the devil is inside of me. Just wanted to hear what you guys think. You know, a couple dreams my wife had and a dream I had. Oh, and I almost forgot. Every now and then when it's late at night, when I wake up to use the restroom, I'm kind of scared to look in the mirror, because every now and then for a split second, when I stare too long, I feel like it's not me looking back. Like I'm almost not recognizable, but then like an instant, I'm back to myself. Just wanted to get you guys' insight. Let me know what you guys think. I'm a huge fan. I'm about to become an EPP, and I love you guys. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your experiences with us. I'll give you 2 takes on this. One where you could have somewhat of a logical thing going on here, and some of you probably know where I'm going to go with that. Should I do that or the ghost one first? I'll go with that. I'll just say that. Because narrow this down. I always like, and I'm not one to ever really try and debunk stuff, but I am one to say, hey, let's take a look at what could possibly be going on here. Gas leak. Check out carbon monoxide leaks or possible things of that nature going on in your home. Because the way that both of you are having these very weird, dark, scary dreams, it could be something like that. However, it could also be something very dark. It could be something, some sort of entity, some sort of negative force that's going on there and is making itself known to you, kind of along the lines of what your dad is saying. And I don't know if it's something trying to lead you back to a faith or the faith or whatever you want to call it. Or if it's just something dark and you happen to be the target at that moment in time. Either way, I would start with a gas leak. I would check that out. Get somebody in there. See if anything gets detected. And if not, then you may have something more serious on your hands. Not that the gas leak isn't serious. It's probably more serious than anything, because that goes wrong, everyone could die. This could lead to years of torment. So either way, not a win-win really at all. But check them out. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online and share your real ghost story with us. We would love to hear it. Let's go to another caller and hear another real ghost story. Hi, you are on the show.
Hi there, my name is Summer and I'm calling from Southern California. I love your show. It's quite fun, especially on my drives, as everyone shares. I wanted to share some stories about the Queen Mary. My father actually came over on the last trip it made from England to America. So I've been sentimental about the Queen Mary. I used to go ghost hunting around there when I was much younger, and eventually I worked there. But a couple of stories I wanted to share. So one of them was when I was first starting to try and explore the Queen Mary, and I'd have my voice little recording device, and my friends and I would get all geared up and excited to check out some areas that maybe we shouldn't have been in. And there's a lot of really interesting parts of the ship. I don't know how familiar people are with the Queen Mary, but it's a huge ship. It was in the war. Back during the war, it was called the Gray Ghost. It was painted all gray and camouflaged so it could be used during the war, and there were some accidents where there was a hull breach and people were unfortunately killed in an accident. They used to hold prisoners of war, and there was even a small jail and morgue that most people don't see on the actual ship. It's been through many lifetimes of uses. One time when I was trying to explore and didn't know much about the history, I got down into an area where they have a lot of these big, beautiful, empty banquet rooms, and they're all closed off and dark, and a lot of the windows are very pretty wood frames, and the doors also are wood frames with glass, so you can see parts of the room even if the doors are closed and locked. And the stairs kind of remind me of something of The Shining, older carpeting and spiral stairways going to the different levels of the ship. Excuse me. And one time I was by myself in an area where nobody was using it. It was very quiet. And as I walked by one of the ballrooms, it was very dark, and I looked in. And I don't know if anyone's seen someone wearing white shirts or clothing in the black light, but it glows almost like a purple. And it was as if there was a black light on in the banquet room and someone with a white dress just ran by. And I did a full-on Flintstones move and ran so fast. I actually skidded past the stairway I was trying to get to escape, and was quite out of breath and scared. And I actually told a guard up above that I had just seen someone running in the banquet room wearing all white, and she disappeared, and it was really scary. And he said, "Oh, you just saw the white lady. She's known on the ship, and if you actually go to the other end, there's a plaque about her. There's been lots of sightings about the white lady." And so that was really interesting. I'm glad I hadn't read about it first, and I wasn't looking for it, so it just seemed to kind of confirm that experience. I also snuck down to the pool that was closed and took an audio recorder, walked through the very dark and spooky row of dressing rooms, which was quite intense, and we did catch a lot of interesting noises after, including the sound of water droplets, even though the pool is completely dry and empty. One of the most interesting things that happened was in the engine room. So the story goes there was an engineer named John, I don't recall his last name, in the 70s, who would do what some of the men would do sometimes once the Queen Mary was docked, and I believe it was still in Long Beach at that time. And they'd play chicken with the watertight doors that would close. They would occasionally have to do drills to make sure that the doors were functioning properly. And he decided to try and go back and forth, and unfortunately he did not make it. And so he was killed at door 13 in the engine room. And supposedly he haunts that space. Getting down to the engine room, I don't know if any of you have seen Nightmare on Elm Street and the boiler room where Freddy is, but it is very creepy. And they actually open it up if anyone's in the Southern California area. It's wonderful fun. During Halloween, you can actually go to these parts of the ship that are usually restricted, and they have actors in there trying to scare you. But we decided to go look for door 13 in the engine room. And we did have a device with us, and we walked through several arches and doorways. No one was down there. Again, we were kind of exploring on our own, and we all got the chills and got scared and ran as we left the last doorway. We went up an escalator, and later we asked somebody, we just said, you know, if we come back and ever do the tour, where's this door 13 we've heard of? And they say, oh, next time you go to the engine room, As you go through the last door, turn around, you'll see door 13 is what you just went through. It's right before the escalator. And sure enough, we did go sneak back down immediately, went through that door and turned around. On the other side of the door was the 13. And that's where we all got the chills and just ran. We felt like something was there. So I did take a friend back who was a non-believer, very tall, strong guy, athletic, always joking around. He's not afraid of anything. He's, I think, 6'4". Very young. And so I said, well, let's see what he thinks. He's feeling brave. Let's give him this experience. So we went actually a different time. This was a couple months later, back to the engine room. And as he walked through that door and I walked through the door, same thing. He got scared. He actually ran almost to the parking lot and through the elevator down below. He was so scared. He said he was never going back on that ship and he felt uncomfortable. So I thought, well, this seems like a hot spot. Let's bring a video camera. Fortunately, we didn't get any images, but I went with, it was my boyfriend at the time, he's now my husband, to that area. And it was really interesting. We walked through, we know the guy's name now. We're trying to kind of see if we can provoke some sort of, you know, evidence on tape. And as we went through the door, you know, again, you kind of feel this heightened sense like someone's there and you're being watched. And as we were on the escalator, it was two things that happened that were very, very unnerving and intriguing. One was, as we were going up the escalator, my husband was filming and I was in front of him, and it's just the two of us. And because it's an engine room, there's a lot of metal and everything echoes. You could hear our footsteps, but suddenly we heard more footsteps behind us. So he's filming, and I hear this, and I said, stop, shh, do you hear that? And he's filming, so the camera's dead still, and he stops, and you can see my feet aren't moving, and you hear the footsteps about 2, 3, 4 more steps, and then they stop too. Turns around, and there's nobody there. Definitely can hear the footsteps loud as day on the video camera, which was very interesting. So at that point, we turned around, and I said, all right, bye, door 13. And then I said, did you hear that? And my husband said, no, hear what? And I said, we have to get out of here. And we ran. Later, I get back home. I play the videotape. It's very quiet in my apartment. It was by 1 in the morning in Long Beach. And it was so, so eerie. When I said by door 13, right before I say, did you hear that? You actually hear a voice say, bye, bye, bye. And it said bye 3 times. And the reason I knew it wasn't my boyfriend or even a human voice was because it's hard to explain, but the word bye overlapped each other. So it's almost like the second bye was said in the middle of the first bye being completed. And so that is not possible. I don't know anybody who can say 2 words at once. So yeah, I said bye door 13, and then right there echoed back on the video clear as day was bye, bye, bye. So that was a little bit of my stories. I have more about the Queen Mary, especially when I worked there. Lots of hauntings and interesting things. Hope you enjoyed hearing that and carry on the great work. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for sharing the story. Of course, we love stories about the Queen Mary. It's just one of those places that evokes so many thoughts and emotions, and just it's just a cool, cool ghost story place. And we're still working really hard at trying to get someone on the show from the darn boat. And it's funny because, you know, we've had a lot of people on the show. We've had a lot of stories shared on the show. It seems like when I actually set out to try and get one specific one, and you wouldn't think this would be that difficult of one to get, but it has been. It's been a really, really, really weird anomaly when it comes to that. Of course, you guys have shared stories, but as far as like setting up an interview with someone from the boat, I've had zero luck. We've had interviews set up at specific times with people who are supposed to be that and be part of that show, and they would not show up for the call, or it's been a mess. But I guess for now, we'll just continue to hear stories from you guys. If anyone out there though does know anyone who works on the boat who'd be willing to share their stories with us, please do email that Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, because I would love to have an in-depth conversation with maybe one of the tour guides from the ghost tours. We've even called the boat. Hey, it's free publicity for the boat. I don't even know why you turned that down. Anyway, I would love to check about that and hear some more stories, but thank you so much for that. I think that, you know, just when we talk about the Queen Mary and the ghosts that are on there, there's a lot of residual stuff going on in that boat. There really is. I mean, from the sounds of that door 13, I remember that being documented on the Unsolved Mysteries episode that was filmed on the Queen Mary years ago, to the pool sounds, a lot of it very unconscious, but making itself known to a lot of people who set foot onto that boat. Thank you for that story again. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to share your real ghost story with us, we, of course, would absolutely love to hear it. And we're doing this live on Facebook right now as well. So if you are on Facebook Live and you have a question for us on the show, feel free to post it up there, and I will try and answer some of those questions as we continue on. Cian says, not recognizing yourself within the dark is quite a normal thing. It's something about the way the brain sees faces. If you want to freak yourself out, stare at yourself in the mirror at night and watch your face change. I don't know if I want to experience that. I kind of avoid mirrors at night. Right now in our master bathroom, we still haven't hung the mirrors up, but I'm not avoiding it by any means. I just haven't done it yet because there's 1,000 other things going on around this house right now. But I've actually, it's been kind of nice. You go to the restroom in the middle of the night, not having to avoid looking at the mirrors as you venture around. Maybe that's just me. Let's go to another call and hear another ghost story here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Brewskies. It's Juliana calling again from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. I'm the girl who told the story about the girl's face appearing in that parked car that was idling, and also calling called about the glass container that's supposed to be indestructible and was broken to a million pieces by an angry spirit. I have a couple stories more to tell you. I guess I just kind of started to realize that some of these paranormal experiences have been following me personally. I thought originally they were, you know, geared towards the house that I used to live in, but paranormal things have started happening to me here around the new condo that I'm living in. And I'm not going to tell any of the new stories yet. I'm going to save that for another time. But right now I'm going to tell probably one of the scarier stories that happened to me besides that glass container. Once again, I'm part of a very loud Italian family, and I had the odd opportunity to have the house to myself, which was really lovely. And I was just, you know, working on some stuff around the house. I had some schoolwork at the time. I was still in high school, and I was also, you know, doing some laundry and some chores and that kind of stuff. I was, you know, just trying to keep myself busy while I had the house to myself, which was, you know, once again, lovely. I mentioned in one of my previous stories that we have this stereo that's right below our television, and that stereo always had a lot of activity, you know, like there was always a lot of really weird stuff happening with it, turning off and on again by itself, stations changing on their own, often a lot of static where it sounds like there's words coming out, but nothing, you know, discernible that you can, you know exactly what it is. And I'm just sitting on the couch, I'm folding some laundry, and I'm watching some TV, and the stereo turns on again. And at the time I was using it just, you know, for some surround sound. It was supposed to kind of just play what the television was playing. And a radio station comes on, which, you know, didn't have anything except for static on. So, you know, once again, I get up and I go and I turn it off. And, you know, I sit down and kind of thinking to myself, or even, I think I even spoke to myself, like, what the heck is going on with this place? And I sit back down and I start folding again, and then the stereo turns on again. So I'm on my way to go turn it off, and I hear, like, a loud noise. It kind of sounded like a bang, but I wasn't quite sure what it was. And then I heard the sound of water running. And it was weird because I was home alone, so there shouldn't have been any water running, no one taking showers. But I take a look around the house, and I make sure none of the faucets are on. I check the dishwasher, make sure that's not running. I check upstairs to make sure like I'm not home alone, which I was. And I thought that was just really weird. I'm like, well, it sounds like there's water running. I don't know what's happening. I check outside to see if like there's a, sometimes our pool guy will come and fill our pool. So I thought maybe he had, you know, just quickly come in and put the hose in the pool to let it fill up, and there was nothing outside either. So I go back to the other room, and I, you know, I turn the stereo off again, and then I sit down, and then, you know, I'm just folding laundry again, I'm watching TV, and then the stereo goes on again. So finally, I'm like, okay, this is weird. So I keep looking around the house, and you know, at this point, I'm like, okay, like I don't know, I have to find out where this water is coming from because it's driving me crazy. And I realize as I'm walking around the house that the water is coming, the sound is coming from the basement. And like we don't really hang out there anymore. Like it was more of a play area when we were younger. And as we got older, you know, upstairs kind of just became the mutual living area because there was no more toys to be hidden and all of that kind of stuff. Italian mom's like a clean house. So I go downstairs, and it's pretty dark because it's a basement. There's only a couple windows, but the light's not, it's not strong enough to see what's going on down there. And I turn on the lights, and I see water just pouring out of all of our light fixtures. Like every single light fixture that is attached to the ceiling has water pouring out of it, almost like a waterfall. It was the strangest sight I had ever seen. And of course, after I put the light on, all the light bulbs exploded. So it was like a loud, like it was like a pop, but also like the sound of glass shattering. And it was just kind of crazy because all of our light fixtures had these like domes that kind of cover them to soften the light, and all of those had been broken with water pouring out of the bottom of them and out of the sides. It was just very, very crazy. And I remember thinking, like, what an odd, like, just so it was just a crazy situation to be in. So of course, and my first thing to do was to call my mother and let her know that, you know, our house is, you know, drowning in itself and that we need someone to come help me. And the fact that, you know, all the lights had exploded, we had live electricity, and to get to the electric box, you had to go through, like, 3 or 4 inches of water. And I didn't feel like I should be doing that. So we had, you know, my uncle, who's an electrician, he came by and he you know, waded through all the water with some rubber boots and turned everything off and assured me that everything was going to be fine. But I just remember thinking something wanted me to go downstairs, and I wasn't sure if it was because they wanted me to see what was happening or if they wanted me to be down there when, you know, the electric went all crazy, because I definitely could have been electrocuted if I had been standing in the water when I turned the light on. So that's probably like one of my scarier stories. I guess one last thing I'll share is another story. Actually, you know what? I'll call back another time. It's kind of a Guardian Angel story, so I'll end on the creepy note. Thanks you guys for doing such a great job, and I'll call back to share with some more stories soon. I have lots more, and oh, also, I guess one last thing. What do you do if you have a ghost that likes to unlock all your doors? Like in our new condo, I've noticed this is happening. We've had it blessed by our priest because that's what Italians do. They, you know, have like a bunch of holy water come in, and you know, they say a couple of prayers and then they're on their way. And this whatever it is unlocking all of our doors, and it's even unlocking doors to like upstairs balconies. Like I don't understand what they're trying to say. So any advice on that would be fantastic. I'll keep you guys posted, and have a lovely afternoon. Bye-bye.
Well, I believe Kwikset makes a demon-proof lock. I believe you can buy that at the Home Depot now. It's in their new section of exorcism products, exorcism construction products. You can also get the holy water kills in that aisle, demon away. And, of course, the demon-proof locks. So, hope that that answered that question for you. I don't know how to answer that. I don't know what you can do, because it's one of those things. If it's physically able to do it, it's going to do it, no matter what type of lock you may be using. I was going to say maybe some of the, you know, the keypad locks where you press the numbers in, but I would think that almost would be more manipulatable by something undead, because you're dealing with electricity there, which actually may increase your problem more than help. I don't know what to do there. Thank you for the stories, though. Greatly appreciate them. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We, of course, always love to hear them. And that's going to wrap up our podcast for today. Our live feed will continue on for just a couple minutes after we wrap this up. So our live feed people, you can keep watching. For our folks listening to the podcast, thanks for listening to the show. If you like the show, consider becoming an EPP. Sign up on the website at ghostpodcast.com. So you can get all of our bonus episodes jam-packed with some of the best ghost stories we get in here. Without our EPPs, we could not make this show happen. We could not continue onward. So if you are an EPP, thank you. If not, please check that out. You will not regret it. Some of the best ghost stories are there for you at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.